It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Prior to the start of the 2013-2014 semester, training was underway for residence hall directors and resident assistants, better known as RDs and RAs. They are often the first line in dealing with students who may need to use college counseling centers. In recent years, colleges have experienced an increased need for more mental health professionals in their counseling centers. Here to address why and how colleges are addressing this need is Tevye Zucor, a clinical psychologist and director of the Counseling Center at the University of Pittsburgh. Tevye Zucor, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You can reach us at 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can find us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Tevye Zucor, is there an increased need for more mental health professionals on university campuses?
Certainly. I think that there is an increased need for mental health professionals on college campus. We tend to see, and the trend suggests, that every single year there tends to be an increase in demand for services over the past year. Certainly at the start of this year, it has been no exception, as we've started exceptionally busy, and we expect to continue to see increased demand for services.
I mentioned at the outset of the program that the mental health of students has become an increasing concern on college campuses. Over the past year, one in five students has received a psychiatric diagnosis or was treated for mental health issues. Why are we seeing this?
You know, I think there's a number of reasons, and some of them are exceptionally positive. I think some of the reasons we see this increased demand include the idea that as the general public becomes more comfortable with mental health and mental health issues, they're more willing to seek treatment at an earlier age. So we're seeing that many of our incoming college students come in with a history of mental health treatment prior to ever beginning college. I think one of the other things that we're seeing quite a bit, too, is in the past 10 to 15 years, we've seen an incredible advance in psychotropic medications. So you think about things like antidepressants, mood stabilizers. We're seeing that students who 15 years ago never would have been able to even attempt college are now being able to not only enroll in college, but also to be successful. Now, however, in order to be successful, they're also requiring more treatment and services to be able to keep that support going so that they can be successful. And I think the final reason that we're seeing a lot of demand also has to do with, in these uncertain economic, political times, that it's increasing the stress for students. So students now are worrying about, oh, gee, you know, when I graduate, what kind of job am I going to have? But the other stressors are also experiencing is, oh, wait, I'm hundreds of miles from home, maybe for the first time, and my parents are maybe losing their jobs, so they don't have the economic stability, or maybe they're having relationship difficulties back home. And so they're struggling to navigate that. And I think that's increasing the demand for services and the need for treatment for our college student population.
But haven't we always seen that? Hasn't there always been turbulence in terms of economics and the status of the family situation with regard to a student's parents, or you know, something bad is happening at home and it's affecting, you know, how they're interacting with their fellow students or how they're performing in the classroom? So aside from the acknowledgement that these issues exist, what else has changed in terms of how we're dealing with it?
Well, and that's where I'm going to go back to the first thing that I mentioned, which is I think that there is now much more understanding and appreciation for mental health services. So I think that there may be some increase in severity of mental health issues. However, I think one of the bigger changes has been that recognition. So with the decrease in stigmatization of mental health, we have students who are now far more willing to come into counseling, to seek treatment. We have parents, we have high school teachers, we have friends of students saying, oh, gee, you know, I'm really worried about you. You seem to be really down. You seem to be having a problem. Instead of just ignoring it, not talking to someone, encouraging people to seek treatment. So we're seeing an increase in awareness, which is getting more people into services.
So are there enough professionals to fill counseling positions on college campuses?
You know, I think there are enough professionals. I think the real issue comes down to resource allocation at any university. I think that there are professionals. I think that there are a number of training programs in the area, in particular in Pittsburgh here. We talk about the University of Pittsburgh has a very large social work school. We talk about Chatham University has a phenomenal doctoral program in counseling psychology. So we're training great new professionals. I think the issue always comes down to, do universities provide the correct resources, enough money to hire these professionals, enough budget to be able to provide the services that are needed? We're very fortunate that the University of Pittsburgh is very responsive to that. But I think that becomes the bigger issue rather than lack of professionals to meet the need.
Are we seeing major universities across the country handling these challenges in a similar way? Is there a similar mindset between different colleges and universities, or is the University of Pittsburgh doing something that is unique?
You know, I think that it would be hard to say that it is consistent across every university. I think what it comes down to is administration. And I think there are a number of universities where administration does understand the need for mental health services and the need to provide the best services to students, which certainly includes the University of Pittsburgh. I think one of the things that is really, really critical is most administrators in universities, by their own admission, are not mental health professionals. However, what they all share in common is a really, really deep passion for student safety and well-being. And frankly, it's the job of directors and other mental health professionals, as well as constituencies like parents and students, to make administration aware of the importance of mental health so that they can make the best decisions about making those resource allocations.
We're just getting started on a new academic year at colleges and universities. What are the busiest times of the school year for the counseling centers? When are the students most vulnerable and most in need?
You know, I think the busiest times throughout sort of history in some ways is we certainly see a very, very busy period of time right at the very beginning
of the
semester. And then we also—
And why is that?
You know, again, I think that has a lot to do with the increase in demand. Where we see the most demand at the very, very beginning is typically an increase in demand from incoming students. So transfer students, incoming freshmen. And a part of that is that students are adjusting to the significantly increased challenges and stressors of being a college student.
Just the whole separation from their families, maybe for the first time in their lives.
Many students, absolutely. They're learning to be independent, make their own decisions, live away from home, maybe for the first times in their lives. There are also many of them trying to get connected with continuing the treatment that they've already started in high school. So they're understanding that they need treatment and they need to be able to continue that. So that process happens at the beginning of the year typically.
How many problems result from students who throughout their adolescence have been on some kind of medication and when they get to college, for whatever reason, are not taking it?
You're speaking like someone who certainly knows what can happen in a university setting. That is a challenge that we see every single year. And if I had the power to be able to magically make every student who was taking medications in high school continue that when they start college, it would make all of our lives certainly a little easier. One of the things we sometimes find, and it's understandable where students get this idea, is they oftentimes sort of say, gee, you know, I'm not even sure these medications are still effective for me. I haven't had any real difficulties in a little bit. Maybe I don't need that. And then they find out, unfortunately, they discontinue their medications. The issues reemerge pretty strongly. And sometimes they end up in a real crisis, end up having to be hospitalized to be able to get stable again. And it's something that is a concern for us and that we do see far more frequently in these first few months of the semester.
We're talking about the mental health needs of college students and the challenges that surround those students when they first arrive on a college campus or during the course of their college careers. We'd like to hear from you, 412-246-9141. 2002. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, Tevye Zucor, clinical psychologist and director of the Counseling Center at the University of Pittsburgh. Again, 412-246-2002. If you are a student or former student who has struggled with mental health issues, how did you deal with them? What kind of help was available for you? We'd also like to hear from some residence hall directors and resident assistants about how you've been able to help other students. 412-246-2002. Also, our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What seem to be the biggest stressors for students these days? What are the things that are stressing kids out?
You know, I think the biggest stressors now and from time eternal probably always will be the big three that we see in no particular order: anxiety, depression, and relationship concerns. And those seem to be, to varying degrees, the things that people are really, really struggling with. They're struggling with not feeling as capable, feeling down, feeling disconnected, and feeling really worried and anxious about things in life in general, academics, as well as struggling again with that idea of meeting new people, finding new social support networks, making new friends, becomes a challenge and a worry for a lot of students.
It sounds like a lot of this goes beyond the classroom. There's always the stress of having to deal with financial issues, getting the financial aid and support that you need, and also keeping up with the workload, getting the homework done, getting things turned in on time, dealing with all the deadlines, and making the grades, the whole paper chase, as it were. But beyond that, what I'm getting from you is that a lot of this is related to just the social aspects of college and dealing with, for the first time as a young adult, relationships and your sense of self-worth, where do I fit in, self-esteem issues, all of that kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's what I'd agree with, what you might call the social relationships. I might sort of jokingly say, yeah, it's the dealing with life. It's the not always so much the academics. Now, obviously, the academics have an impact, right? So nothing occurs in a vacuum for our students. So when they're stressed over academics, that compounds their worries about how to start to function as an independent adult. It's that developmental challenge from this time period of learning to make your own decisions, making good decisions. I sort of joke with the students that I work with, which is college is really a time where students often will make stupid decisions, right? That's where we kind of learn, like, oh, gee, that's not really what I want to do in life because that didn't have the outcome I thought it would. And so where we first tend to learn that is in college. And so we compound that with the other stressors. It's not a surprise that that can be a challenge for our students.
And you will often hear, or the advice that is sometimes given to students is block out all of the personal stuff. When you get into that classroom, you've got to focus on the lectures. You've got to focus on your reading and your research. And so check all that other stuff at the door. But it sounds like that's easier said than actually done.
Yeah, I might suggest that that's a fairly naive approach, sometimes given by professors that would like everyone to focus specifically on whatever their class is. The idea that a student can compartmentalize in such a degree and not still worry about the challenges that face them on an every single day, every minute level is sort of silly. And so I think it's really important that students keep that holistic perspective in mind and do things that can help them not just with one class, but help them function as a person.
And it sounds like the professors have to be clued in to maybe some of the signs that students may exhibit of depression so that they're not advising the students incorrectly that, you know, you're here to learn. That's what you need to focus on.
Absolutely.
412-246-2002. If you want to join our conversation, we have Elise, who is a Pitt faculty member. Elise, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I'm actually driving to campus. I'm on the faculty of the business school, and I'm on the front line with hundreds and hundreds of undergraduates every year. And I've worked at other small institutions before I came to Pitt, and I work really closely with the advising department at the College of Business Administration, and I have referred students who have gotten good help there and good help from the Counseling Center. But there's one striking difference between Pitt and the other smaller institutions that I've worked for, and you touched upon it briefly in the last segment. We really don't have good training for the faculty to identify the signs of a student who's in trouble beyond just being worried about a test. At the institution I was at before this, there was mandatory faculty training, and we don't do that here. And I mean, I'm not a mental health professional. I make no pretenses that I am. And so I just run on my gut as someone who's been teaching a long time and who has children in their 20s who have gone through some of this. But just as a comment, I think we can do better there as an institution in training faculty, particularly those of us who are dealing with undergraduates, where most of these problems seem to occur. So just want to hear what you have to say about that.
Very, very interesting comments, Elise. And Tevye Zukor, what about what Elise is saying? And are the faculty members necessarily as clued in as they could be? How can they be better equipped to help students?
I think it's a great question. I think that one of the things, and Elise is absolutely right, although it is not mandatory training, and that's something the university could certainly be looking at, I think that one of the services that we provide and that we offer, my favorite presentation that I give to faculty and staff is what I call identifying and referring distressed students. So it's a presentation that we do for faculty and staff that highlights for them what are the signs of distress and underlying mental health issues and how to address that with the student, how to talk to the student effectively, how to help them get connected with appropriate options like the mental health center. And so I would encourage Elise or anyone who's listening that is connected with faculty or staff, all they have to do is call us at the counseling center. We would be more than happy to come and offer that training. Now, if we're talking on a more systemic level, is that something that could be offered and provided to everyone in the university? I certainly have to admit my bias that I think everyone can benefit from having information on how to assist students who may be in distress so that that distress doesn't turn into a crisis.
We're talking with Tevye Zukor, a clinical psychologist and director of the Counseling Center at the University of Pittsburgh, about student mental health issues here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Tevye, I understand you worked at Virginia Tech during the 2007 campus shooting.
Mm-hmm.
How did that incident change the role of counseling centers on college and university campuses?
Yeah, you know, the tragic shootings of 2007 at Virginia Tech had a profound impact on mental health and on campuses across the country. I think one of the things it did was it certainly made people far more aware than ever before of the importance of mental health. One of the things that we also found coming out of that tragedy is that universities across the country started to develop student teams, support teams, concern for at-risk student teams to help identify when students are struggling. We got far more consultations from faculty parents who say, you know, I was really worried about this student. He's maybe in my class. He hasn't been showing up for a lot of classes. I might not normally have called about it, but I want someone to know because I'm concerned. So we saw an increase in awareness, which I thought was certainly very helpful. The other thing, probably the fundamental change that I saw, however, was there used to be this sort of adage in administration on college campuses before the shootings that sort of the college collegiate mental health was sort of considered the counseling center was doing a good job if we never heard about them, right? So they're preventing crisis, we assume. We don't know a whole lot about them, but they were kind of off on the side doing their thing. And it really put mental health in a spotlight. And so one of the big changes we saw is that mental health was being considered, obviously appropriately so, a valued part of the university community. So we started to be consulted much more regularly. We started to be brought in on how to do more effective trainings, how to be more of a presence on campus. And as that started to change, that's one of the things, going back to your very first question, I think has led to increased awareness, which has also led to that increase in demand for services.
Virginia Tech was an instance where a student was hurting others. Do schools have plans in place for dealing with a student who is suicidal?
Absolutely. Every university that I've ever worked at has plans in place to deal with students who may be homicidal, and far more commonly, the issue that we work with on a daily basis is students who may be suicidal or at least having suicidal ideation or thoughts of harming themselves or ending their lives. So we work regularly, literally on a daily basis, with students who are in that level of distress to help them get the necessary treatment and care to protect their safety and make sure that they can be okay. I always say that, you know, most issues can be worked on effectively, but that can only happen if the student's being safe. And so that is our top priority.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Ann in Pittsburgh. Ann, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Listen, I just wanted to say two things. I had a son who actually went to Pitt and had to access some of the mental health care, and I do want to say that I thought that they did a good job. I come from being a school nurse, so I have a number of students who have gone through depression, so I could recognize the signs early and had him call, and I thought they really actually did a wonderful job. But as a school nurse, I'm wondering if students, the rising seniors who are going into college in high school, they'll have 504 plans and individualized educational plans. And how well do they carry over into the college environment?
Well, first of all, I very much appreciate the kind words about the Counseling Center at the University of Pittsburgh. It means a great deal. To answer your question, students who are on IEPs and other types of assistance, the university has a specific department, Disability Resource Services, that assist with the transition of those plans to be able to provide effective accommodations for them academically and at times personally. As the Counseling Center, we work extremely close with that department to work with them on helping identify students who may need accommodations for a host of mental health issues.
As we wrap this up, Tevye, what advice do you have for parents who are concerned about their child's mental health when they're away at school?
The best advice that I can give to a parent is if you're concerned about your child, one, make sure that you give them a call. Let them know. Tell them clearly that you're concerned about them, you're worried about them, and you want them to be okay. And the other thing that I'd encourage them to do is if you have concerns about a student, about one of your children, you can also always call the Counseling Center at whatever university your child's attending and make them aware of, gee, I'm worried about my son. Can you assist me in how to talk with my son and how to get them proper treatment? And we're certainly more than happy. One of my favorite things to do is be able to talk to that concerned parent, because a concerned parent highlights how much they care about their child and their child's well-being. And so I encourage parents to give us a call. We're always happy to talk with them.
Tevye Zucor is a clinical psychologist and director of the Counseling Center at the University of Pittsburgh. Tevye Zucor, thank you so much for joining us.
A real pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, does the CIA's acknowledgement of Area 51 mean we're not alone in the universe? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.